Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's House on this second Sunday of Eastertide, in which we celebrate Christ's resurrected presence among his followers. Please, if you haven't already done so, please fill out the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on for your next door neighbors down the row. If this is your first time visiting Berea Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you. And we would invite you to visit with us in the back of the church following our service. We'll be back there shaking some hands. Please do stop by and let us know this is your first visit, and we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. We're grateful to everyone who made our Easter services so very meaningful last Sunday, and for everyone who also assisted with the community health fair yesterday in the fellowship hall. Barbara Mayberry and Gail Gentry are still signing up folks for photos to be taken for a new church directory. Please stop by after church. They're going to be at the table back in the back. And this is the last Sunday to actually sign up for your photos. So please remember to do that before you leave if you haven't already. And then please read through the bulletin announcement page to learn more about honoring our graduate seniors, summer camps at Tall Oaks, and upcoming events for the ladies of the church, as well as other activities in the life of our congregation and fellowship. Also on the back table, there's a fresh list of volunteers to drive the Jacobo kids to and from school this upcoming week. And thank you, as always, for all your support for these children and for their family. Also, back on the table, we need greeters to sign up for the month of May. Please, if you would, sign up on the back table to be a greeter for the month of May, either first or second service. And the Education Committee is scheduled to meet on April 30th. There's been a change from the bulletin. They're going to meet in the library now instead of the upper room. So that's date and time are correct, just location has changed. All right, do we have any other announcements this morning? Andrew.
Before the call to worship, I'd just like everyone to bring everyone's attention. Lynn Bratney has been a dedicated choir member for many years, and she will be moving to Chicago in a few weeks. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because this is her last Sunday singing with the choir, so I wanted to thank her for all of her years in service to the church. And for her donating her piano downstairs in the fellowship hall. So thank you for that, and thank you. So with that said, let us rise for the call to worship. Praise the Lord. His name will be praised now and forever. The Lord rules over all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Let us sing hymn number 215, Come Ye Faithful, Rise the Strain.
Come ye faithful, raise the strain of triumphant gladness. God hath brought forth Israel into joy from sadness. Loose from Pharaoh's bitter yoke, Jacob's sons and daughters, fed them with unmoistened foot through the Red Sea waters. 'Tis the springs of Shoal today, Christ hath birthed his prison. And from 3 days sleep in death, as a sun hath risen. All the winter of our sins, long and bleak is flying. From his light to whom we give laud and praise undying. Now the brightest season dawns with a day of splendor. Now the royal feast of feasts comes its joy to render. Comes to glad Jerusalem, who with true affection welcome in unwearied strains Jesus' resurrection.
Thank you to our birthday girl, Jatana Jacobo, for lighting our Christ candle this morning. Thank you, Jatana. May we bow in a word of prayer. Lord God, we gather today on this Sunday after we celebrate the resurrection of Christ our Savior. We celebrate the new life that we see all around us this spring season, as we also remember the cold and the many snows of the past winter. O God, remind us of our gift of life. Show us how you are in control of our changing seasons, and comfort us as we grieve the losses of seasons past. Give us the ability, Lord, to place ourselves in your authority of not only our individual lives, but also of our impact on the lives of those around us. Almighty God, we welcome your Holy Spirit now to remind us of Christ's living presence in our house of worship as we begin our service to you, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other to worship this morning. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first stanza of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus from page 190.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. Don't we love that we have such big groups of kids now? It's awesome. We'll love it. Oh, how are you guys today? Yeah? Kind of cold again today, isn't it? I see lots of people with sweaters and jackets on. Yep, got to do it. What do we got here? What's that? I know y'all like to play with Play-Doh, don't you? I know my crew does. I have a hard time keeping them out of it. What? What you got? You got the pencil? I like Play-Doh, too. I like to mess with it. It's fun. It's squishy, and you can make things. What you got, sweetie? I know. Then you can't play it. And you can't play with it anymore, can you? I'm telling you. So I like to mess with Play-Doh. What's that? Star. I made a star out of Play-Doh. And then what do we got here? Looks like maybe what? A little flower. You know, one of the things I like best about Play-Doh? I can make stuff, but I can change my mind. And I can decide I don't want that stuff anymore. So I get to squash it together. Yeah. I get to squash it together, and I can start all over again. Mint, sweetie. So I can make it all new again. I get to go, nope, don't like that. I'm done. I want to start over. Well, when I was thinking about that, that reminds me of being a Christian. Huh? I know, I love those faces that go, huh? What are you talking about? Hang on, honey. Because as a Christian, when we make a mistake, or when we maybe don't think about stuff very good and we make a bad decision, or we get to, what do we get to do? When we do something we know is wrong, what do we get to do as a Christian? We get to ask God to forgive us, don't we? We do. We get to say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I messed up again. Please forgive me. And what does God do when I ask him to forgive me? He forgives us, but do you know what else happens? God says, I will remember your sin no more. Means it's gone. It's like it was never there. We get to start over. Just like we can start over with our Play-Doh when we make a mistake. When we make a mistake, we get to go to God and ask for forgiveness, and he says, it's gone. It's not there. Never happened. I always remember what I did wrong. But we are very lucky that God doesn't remember what we do wrong. And he forgives us every time. If we go to him with a heart full of love and we truly ask for forgiveness, he's going to give it to us and he's going to forget all about it. I like that. It's a good thing because I mess up kind of quite frequently, actually. So, can we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so much that each and every time we choose unwisely or we make an honest mistake, you forgive us and you wipe it out of your memory, and we're able to start over and continue to try to grow in our love and our faith. And we pray that each and every day we get just a little bit better, a little bit closer to being the kind of Christian you would want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we have the privilege to go to God in prayer, we first of all just want to celebrate the wonderful Easter we had last week, and also the fact that Noah King came forward and made his confession of faith, and we're looking forward to sharing in Noah's baptism this next Sunday, and it will be during the start of this particular worship service. The flowers that are in front of the pulpit this morning, they are from the memorial service we had for Buddy Aikmas here in the sanctuary last evening as we remember Buddy's family in prayer. We also want to lift up Jerry Hamer as she is at Linden Woods for a few days. We want to lift up Harry Booth and Bryce Stamen. Both underwent surgeries this past week and are both now home. So that is certainly good news for both of them. For Terry and Kay Yoakum, we lift up their daughter, Julie McCormick of Gladstone, as she's recovering from a heart attack. And we also want to remember Dorinda in our prayers, as we had the memorial service for Dorinda's husband, John, this past Monday. And Dorinda is, again, back out on the road in the various art shows that she's been involved with for so many years. So she will be gone for several days. So please remember her in your prayers. We continue to lift up Jessica Jacobo, as we know she's looking to have this child here real soon. And Jesus, we're certainly remembering you and Michelle in our prayers every day and your family. We lift up Betty Barnes. We lift up Arlita White's sister, Mary Triplett, who is dealing with bone cancer, and also Perla Mora's niece, Kathy Granger, who was in intensive care this past week. So with all of these people in prayer, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we offer you thanksgiving and praise as we are privileged to assemble in your house of worship and worship you this second Sunday of Eastertide. As we envision our Lord Jesus sharing in fellowship with his followers during the 40 days after his resurrection and before his ascension into heaven, we realize that they must have marveled at the freedom he experienced, freedom from death and physical maladies, unfettered by the burdens of daily living. For even though his body bore the evidence of an excruciating crucifixion, we celebrate that he was in no way inhibited. The brutality of the scourging and death on cross were nothing more than a memory, as he freely resided among his followers with great vibrancy and love. Lord, may the vitality of the resurrected Christ give all of us as believers a great measure of peace and assurance. For in Christ we too will one day be redeemed from sin and the ravages of our earthly existence. We will be freed from whatever it is that may burden us in our mortal lives. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 reminds us that Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for your righteous purposes. This season of Eastertide, we glory not only in the skills or talents of our own energies, but rather we humbly embrace the power of Christ living in us, knowing our full redemption comes from Christ alone and not ourselves. Thus we offer this prayer in thanksgiving as we recite the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Phil, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from John, the first chapter, verses 43 through 51. And you may find that in your pew Bibles on page 969. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you come to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under a fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God descending and ascending upon the Son of Man." This is part of the story of God as told by the people of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
George Eliot once wrote, "Oh, the comfort, the inexpressible comfort of feeling safe with a person, having neither to weigh thoughts nor measure words, but to pour them out just as they are, chaff and grain together, knowing that a faithful hand will take them and sift them and keep what is worth keeping, and then, with the breath of kindness, blow the rest away." What a wonderful image that is, of knowing that whenever you are with the dearest of friends, you can just be yourself. And whatever spouts out of your mouth, well, your friend will certainly accept that which is worth keeping and recognize that whatever it is that's really not worth anything at all will just be brushed away. You can just be yourself. No pretense, no worries. As you and I gather at the Lord's table, I hope that is the way we can feel. For we know that Christ already knows everything about us. God knows the very depth of our hearts. As a consequence, may we gather at this table simply being ourselves, knowing that God loves the best of us and ignores the rest, right? We praise God for that as we recognize that in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the text says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this way. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Our communion hymn this morning, it's number 384, Here at Thy Table, Lord. We sing stanzas 1 and 3, please.
Here at Thy table, Lord, this sacred hour, oh, let us feel Thee near in loving power, calling our thoughts away from self and sin. As to Thy banquet hall we enter in. Come then, O Holy Christ, feed us, we pray. Touch with Thy pierced hand each common day, making this earthly life full of Thy grace, till in the home of heaven we find our place.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Michelle leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Jesus, as we gather at your table, we seek your forgiveness for our sins of the past. Please bless these emblems and fill each day with a new awareness of your presence, and make us a blessing to those around us. In your name we pray. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning.
Thank you.
If your greatest wish could be granted, what would it be? Maybe it would be that our greatest wish would not be for ourselves, but maybe for someone else, or maybe even for a group of people. Maybe our greatest wish would not be the acquisition of something, but rather the feeling that we had offered some benefit to someone else. As Proverbs chapter 13, verse 19 reminds us, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. And as we give a portion of what we have as an offering to the church, are we not accomplishing something that is great for the benefit of others? We rejoice in the privilege of having our wish granted, the heartfelt wish that others could be blessed by the way that we give of ourselves. Tom leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Gracious God, help us be open and generous with you, knowing that our gifts will be used to enhance your work and be a blessing to those in need. Please bless these gifts and the givers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
May we pray. Merciful and gracious God, we are indeed grateful for this offering. May it be used for your glorious purposes now and always. Amen. Please be seated. Don't you think we had a wonderful Easter last Sunday? It was wonderful. I think we had an attendance of over 350 people for all three services. So we just praise God. And it's been wonderful for us to celebrate new members and especially celebrate the baptism of several of our younger people. And we're looking forward to Noah's baptism next Sunday too. May we offer a word of prayer. Holy and gracious God, we give thanks for the day and for the privilege to understand that your love for us is great and powerful, so much so that you set aside the prejudices and biases that we may possess in our own lives, and you welcome us all as your children, as indeed Christ welcomed Nathanael into his fellowship. It's in the name of Christ that we offer this prayer. Amen. Here we are in this season of Eastertide, and yet as we started talking about the apostles prior to Easter, now we need to kind of pick up where we were. We've talked about five of them so far. Again, remember Andrew, his brother Simon or Simon Peter, then James and John, then the week prior to Easter we talked about Philip. Today we talk about Nathanael. Philip and Nathanael were also fishermen from the northern region of Galilee. Just like the other four I mentioned here, we know that Philip and Nathanael were also fishermen from Galilee. And the scriptures reveal to us that Philip and Nathanael were probably really fast friends and probably had been all of their lives. One of the things I think that we need to take note of is that when we look at these first six apostles, is that these were men who had a genuine desire to seek after God through the scriptures. Even before they ever met Jesus, they were men who were seeking from the Word of God, trying to understand the depth of spirituality that was even greater than just living through the routine of being Jewish. They were yearning for the coming of the Messiah. And this is what they found in Christ, was the true Messiah. Now, the text that was read to you talks about, you know, how Philip was found by Jesus. And then what does Philip do as he really begins to understand that, wow, this must really be the Messiah we've been looking for? Does he keep that to himself? No, just like Andrew previously, Philip hurries to someone else. And in this case, not to a brother, as Andrew went and found Simon, but his closest and dearest friend, Nathanael. And how is it that Philip tries to convince Nathanael that he really ought to go meet this person? As we look at the text, we have to take note of the fact that Philip uses the scriptures as a way to convince Nathanael that this guy is the person he really ought to go see. Look at the text with me, John chapter 1, verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one whom Moses wrote about in the book of the law and whom the prophets also wrote about." In other words, you know how we've been looking through the scriptures all these years, but he's the real McCoy. He, I think, is really the Messiah. He is the fulfillment of what we've been seeking as Jewish people all these centuries. He is Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth. Now, although Nathanael had been truly a devout Jewish man, he also had a flaw about him, and that he was rather biased, had negative opinions about others. He reminds me of a gentleman that became a dear friend of mine in one of the churches I served. His name was Curtis. Curtis was one of the most devoted followers of the scriptures that I had ever met. Curtis had a gas station, you know, back in the day when people used to own their own gas station. Remember those days? In fact, I actually met Curtis before I was the pastor, because when I came into town, I needed to get gas. Drove up and, you know, got out to fill my car, and what I noticed was there were these chalice stickers on the pumps. You know what I'm talking about? The red chalice sticker. I thought, oh my gosh. And this was a small enough town. Obviously, I thought, well, whoever's here certainly must be affiliated with the church I'm going to go talk to, you know. And then walking into the station, I noticed, you know, here's the counter and here's this podium. And it stood there right by the window so that there you could stand at the podium, you could still see the pumps. But on the top of that podium was what? A Bible. Same version I use, the Today's English Version. Now that really struck my heart. Here's a man who's devoted to the point where when he has time to spare, what's he doing? Reading that Bible. And sure enough, Curtis and I, we became fast friends as I became pastor of that church. He knew the scriptures left, right, backwards and forwards. And he did his darndest to kind of go away from his old ways, and they'd been kind of crazy times in his younger years. But here in his older years, he was really striving to be as godly as he could be. Yet at the same time, Curtis, he wasn't even Baptist. And yet, he sure could be judgmental. You know, when he thought somebody else was out of line, he didn't mind speaking about it. Well, you know, so-and-so needs to get their act together, blah, 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 blah. When we think about Nathaniel, I think about folks like Curtis. Good-hearted, devoted people. Oh, but my, sure can be judgmental toward others. And we see that in Nathaniel, in the way Nathaniel answers his dear friend Philip. He says without hesitation, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Now notice, he didn't say, "Can any good person come from Nazareth?" He says, "Can any what? Thing." You know, one of the tragedies of our human predicament is that when one group of people tries to believe that another group of people isn't as worthy or as useful or as helpful or as, you know, good as they are, we make objects out of others, don't we? And we come up with all kinds of ridiculous nicknames to give the other group. And we dehumanize others to the point where they are like a thing rather than a person or rather than a child of God. Certainly one of the most diabolical aspects of our human nature. And we're seeing that here in Nathaniel. Devoted as he wanted to be to God, he still had a bias against those folks from Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Now, what you have to understand is what's so pathetic about this, as with so many prejudices that exist on the earth, is that Nathanael was from Cana, Cana of Galilee, small town. Remember, it's the place where Jesus did what? Turned the water into wine at the wedding feast. Cana was a rather small, still is today, rather small community of a few hundred people in biblical times. And it was somewhat to the north and slightly east of Nazareth. Cana is so small, it doesn't even have a decent highway going through it. At least Nazareth has a highway that goes from west to east and another one from north to south. It was kind of like somewhat of a crossroads to this in this northern vicinity of Galilee. At least Nazareth had that going for it. Cana didn't even have that. And yet, here's a guy from the podunk town of Cana saying, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Have you ever lived in a small town? You ever known the rivalries that go on, tit for tat nonsense from one little town to the other little town, especially like football, basketball, blah, blah, you know, corporation this or business that? Now, if you're the outsider who came into town, you just shake your head and you think, "Oh, this is such nonsense. Why is this happening?" But isn't it astounding how we people, when we get in our own little group and we create this stuff against others? Nathaniel, for whatever reason, had this kind of prejudice against one of the neighboring communities. A rivalry, if you will. Yet notice how Philip responds to Nathanael. Does he argue with him?
Does he try to use scripture to prove it? Like, well, Nathaniel, you know the Bible says, blah, 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 so you better, you know, does he do any of that? No, he knows none of that's going to do any good. Philip says to Nathaniel, what? Come and see. In other words, he just says, well, you wonder about this guy from Nazareth? I'm telling you, he's really the Messiah. I want you to come and see him. And so, Nathanael does go, meets up with Jesus. How does Jesus then take on Nathanael, this person who has already got a level of skepticism about himself, about everything? And he already thinks he's right because he's read it all, he's learned it all, he knows what's right about the scriptures, and he's really going to scrutinize Jesus, think, well, I'm going to give you the eagle eye, let's see whether you really are who Philip says you are. Jesus, he knows exactly how to respond to him. Because we look at the text, some of your versions will say, look, here's the man who has no guile. Here's the man who has this, who's a true Jewish man. That's how Jesus approaches him. What you have to understand is that to a point here, what Jesus is doing is what? He's stroking Nathanael's ego. Wow, what do you mean? Yes, I really am a person who's really serious about the Bible and trying to find the right way. I am. Now, there's more to the text as you read on. There's more about this whole business of, well, hey, how do you know about me? When Jesus says, well, I saw you under the fig tree. Now, there's nothing magical about this. What really was going on was simply that a fig tree was one of the few broad-leaf trees big enough that you could actually find some shade. And in Palestine, that's saying something. And so a place that's cooler, underneath the tree, sit there and read while you got a little bit of spare time. I saw you under the tree studying. Oh, really? Wow. But Jesus says, well, you think you're convinced based on what you've seen of me now? I tell you what, Nathanael, you're going to see, if you follow me, you're going to see things far greater than what you see now. And of course, as time goes on, what we really begin to understand is that this gentleman who had such a great desire to want to know about God, who wanted to follow God closely, who wanted to seek out the true Messiah, certainly found the Messiah in Christ. But even more significant is the fact that in the presence of Christ, Nathanael's bias melts away and becomes insignificant. Isn't that what really happens when we're in the presence of Christ, when we really allow Christ to come into our hearts? We can't have a bias or a prejudice against our others, our brothers and sisters around us. Why? Because we're all children of God. And it don't matter where we came from. It doesn't matter what our background was. It doesn't matter whether our football team is better or worse than another. All of that is nonsense. Christ transforms us. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and the new has come. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have become crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, the truth of the matter is, God knows the heart of every one of us. Christ knew the heart of Nathanael. Yes, he was devoted, just like my friend Curtis. Oh, but he had a bias about him, just like my friend Curtis. And that bias needed to be melted away so that Nathaniel, just like my friend Curtis, could really love others as Christ has loved us. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day you need to come forward and accept him in a way I know your life will be transformed. Or maybe today is that day you need to come forward, become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation. It's number 480. I love to tell the story. May we stand and sing all stanzas, please. 480.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell a story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new, new song, 'twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell a story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
We certainly again want to express a word of gratitude to everyone who helped out with the health fair, and Katie, for everything you did to put everything together for yesterday afternoon. And again, as we journey through this season of Eastertide, I certainly hope you feel the presence of Christ among us as we journey forward. May we bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and holy God, as we journey forward with the new week, we give thanks for your presence with us. May we always understand your great love for us and all your children throughout the world. It is in Christ's name we give thanks as we journey into the new week. Amen.
my children with my blessing never alone. Waking, sleeping, I am with you. You are my own. In my love's baptismal river, I have made you mine forever. Go, my children, with my blessing, you are my own. Go, my children, fed and nourished, closer to me. Grow in love and love by serving, joyful and free. Hear my Spirit's power filled you, hear His tender comfort sealed you. Go, my children, fed and nourished, joyful and free.